I said to Malcolm, this is going to be a very short sermon because it's about the empty tomb and there's nothing there. And Lydia reminded me that she heard an Easter Day sermon where the preacher just got up and said, he is risen. Amen. But the enormity of this is so great that we're lost for words. And we really are. So when I'm lost for words, I revert back to the script. And this morning, I'd like us to unpack what we heard read by Arthur just now. Luke tells it in a particular order, and there are reasons for this. As I said, it is just an enormous truth and difficult for us, as it was for the disciples in those days, to take on board what was happening. So if we just repeat some of the reading and then see what it's actually saying. This, in a way, will be mundane because death and all that follows it is very mundane. It's very emotional, but it's very matter of fact, and it does follow certain customs. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Why did they go very early in the morning? Simply because they needed to get the spices onto the body before the heat of the day and the smells took over. Why women? Because it was the Jewish custom that women should lay out the body and deal with it. The men didn't do that. So this is exactly what was expected early in the morning. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine their reaction when they found the tomb empty? Total bewilderment, shock, horror. Where was the body? Who'd taken it? And where is it? Where can we find it so that we can go and do what we came to do? This is so human, isn't it? Their plans have not gone to plan. And we too react to situations without thinking, without pausing. We blunder in because we feel hurt, fraught, bewildered, offended, bereft. We are annoyed that our plans have been interrupted. It's a knee-jerk reaction. Graciousness is subsumed by emotion, and we forget to turn to God. How easily this could have been us. Panic. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" What would your reaction have been to that? "But I'm looking for the dead, not the living." "So of course I'm here. It's a tomb. I'm looking for the dead. I'm not looking for the living." So that was completely countercultural to have that question posed. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. As soon as the angels appeared, they knew they were in the presence of something awesome, and they were frightened and bowed their heads. God is a gracious God, and he always comes to our aid. Instead of allowing panic to set in, God instructs the angels to quickly bring them back on track, to remind them of the words that Jesus had used several times, which they completely forgot in their panic. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. We need to let those words sink in. Nothing like this had ever happened before. Then, of course, they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who repeated what they had seen to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. But then they didn't believe in women anyway, so women that talk nonsense made it doubly worse. We need to understand what has just happened here in the context of the times. As I said, Jewish women were the ones that attended to the body. This was their custom. Jewish women were also not allowed to be witnesses in court. None of this sounds very politically correct by today's standards, but it does help to explain Peter's reaction. He instinctively would not accept the words of a group of women. Nobody else ever accepted it, so he wasn't about to start. So he went to check out the story for himself, and he rushed back with one or two of the others. And our passage reads, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Bewilderment. He'd forgotten the words of Jesus. So nobody took on board what had happened, and the disciples still hadn't realized that they'd been in the company of and been close friends with the supernatural Jesus. John's Gospel tells us that whilst Peter was in the tomb and Mary Magdalene was outside, she saw someone whom she assumed was the gardener and asked if he knew where the body had gone. He just said the word, Mary, and she immediately recognized Jesus. So a woman was the first person to see the risen Lord. Up to this point, women were hopeless, but Jesus revealed himself to a woman first of all. And we do well to remember that. I'm absolutely amazed at the number of Christian people that I meet who are just like these disciples on the first Easter morning. They believe in Jesus, but somehow can't, don't, or won't believe in the power that he has. That supernatural power that was so evident on that first Easter morning and is so evident on this Easter morning to those who believe in it. It is almost invisible to those who don't believe in it or trust in it, and yet they say they are Christian. Is it a question for us, for some of us? Do we from time to time have doubts about the power of the risen Lord? Should we ask God to help us if we struggle and confirm in us an unshakable belief that he is Almighty God and with him nothing is impossible? The empty tomb is the most simple yet profound example of Jesus' resurrection and what follows from it. This morning we remember and celebrate the fact that the good news of Jesus is all about resurrection and the power that Jesus exercised over death and sin. And the good news is still with us here on this Easter morning, bringing us forgiveness of our sins and freedom. Together with the promise of eternal life with Jesus forever. The good news of Jesus is still with us, bringing us forgiveness of our sins and freedom, together with the promise of eternal life with Jesus forever. That is what we believe, and that is what we know. It doesn't get any better than that anywhere else. It never has, and it never will. That is the ultimate. So as we come to this, the first communion of Easter, let us rejoice in this good news and worship the King with all our heart and give thanks that we know this and believe in the resurrection and vow to make known all that we know to those whom we meet and engage with. That Jesus Christ is risen and alive and longs for the world to become his disciples. Go into the world and make disciples of all people. So this Easter, let's pledge ourselves afresh to the ever-loving and true God. Let us recognize that he is God Almighty, the supernatural. So let us do that at the communion rail in the stillness of our hearts. Amen.